Hello again and welcome to another episode of BitNote. This is David Collins, where we'll be playing video game music. Have a listen and hope you enjoy. Hey again, everybody, and welcome to another episode of BitNote. I've got a great game lined up for you this afternoon, and the name of it is Splunky. You see, every so often I have a game that kind of grabs me and addicts me. I had a while back, there was of course FTL, Faster Than Light, and I think I talked on the show before about King's Bounty, a game that's so addictive that I ended up actually having to install it before I finished it so that I would stop playing it. If you go onto our website at bitnotefm.com, you can see that episode in the list, or in any podcast browser, and it is titled Morning Bird Songs, after the thing I would hear when I had a late night playing that game, and there's the reason why I uninstalled it after a while. But there was another game that recently grabbed me, and of course it was Splunky. It was slow at first, I kind of was frustrated, I kind of didn't quite get it, but once I sort of did, boy, it just roped me in. So to start things off, let's play some music from that game. Have a listen, and hope you enjoy. Adventure Begins. It is from the game Splunky, and it was composed by Eric Sucre, and it's from Splunky by Derek Yu. Now, Derek Yu has made a couple of indie games before. He, of course, made Aquaria, which was a game from a few years back, kind of like an underwater RPG where you play this mer creature person. And before that, he made one or two other free games, including I'm OK. That's I'm and then O.K. initials. And it is a reference. Boy, that game, I'll mention it on the show sometime, but that was a classic game. Basically, there was this guy called Jack Thompson, and he was basically a lawyer who was dead set on basically criminalizing selling adult games to underage kids in America. And one stage he has a huge bit of satire inspired by Jonathan Swift. He developed this brief for a whole video game where basically a guy went on a rampage against game developers. The idea being was, how do you think game developers would react if a game ended up having them murdered? And he promised to donate money to charity if this game was actually made, about 10,000. So Derek Yu, in collaboration with some others, actually developed this game, I'm OK, which was basically did everything that Jack Thompson described about a guy who ended up killing game developers, including going to a convention and killing them. And then even a bit of a moment in it where you pee on the brains of the developers you've just killed. Yeah, Jack, trust me, this was the guy who was actually going against violent video games, who actually wrote out this brief description of how this game should work. So you can't really blame Derek Yu for following the instructions he was given, and it was all done in kind of a retro thing. And then at the end of it, the game was presented to Jack Thompson, and Jack Thompson said, no, actually, I'm not going to pay it after all. It was all satire. Didn't you read Jonathan Swift? That's why I called it A Modest Proposal. So Derek, he wasn't that surprised. And then the guys from Penny Arcade, the webcomic, Tycho and Gabe, basically they said, okay, well, if he won't do it, we will. And then they donated $10,000 to charity. And in the reason for doing it, they said, because Jack Thompson won't. So there you have it. The saga of one of the more weirder indie games, freeware indie games created, involving huge things, involving a $10,000 donation to charity and a guy who hates violent video games actually inadvertently or advertently creating a violent video game. Yeah, that was a very weird period in game history looking back, but it provided a lot of very, very lush drama. So we seem to be having a bit of own drama at the moment, but let's not go into that. I should actually probably talk more about Spelunky, i.e. the game that I'm actually playing music from now. So how about I give you another one? This is Ice Cave C, and it's kind of a nice track from it. Have a listen, and hope you enjoy. And that was Ice Cave C. It is from the game Spelunky, and it was composed by Eric Sucre, and the game was made by Derek Yu. So, actually, what is Spelunky? Well, it's fairly straightforward, kind of, sort of. You start the game after selecting your character, and you find yourself in a mine. You seem to have to make your way 100 meters downwards in a basic side-scrolling platformer game. So it's pretty straightforward. You jump, you go down, you jump to the left, jump to the right, you try to jump on top of enemies to kill them, and you've also got some bombs and some which will explode an area in front of you, and some rope that will go up. But things, as you go down the mine, things start to get tricky. For a start, you die. A lot. Very quickly, very fast. You've got basically four lives, or four hearts, and basically everything from a single bat to just falling too hard will take away one of those hearts, and they go by very quickly. The only way to recover a heart, well, except for some other method which is a little complex and a little later, is to essentially rescue these damsels in distress, these blonde people, take them to the exit, and then basically at the end, and when you complete the level, then she'll give you a kiss, which equates to an extra heart. Now that seems straightforward, except that the game gets very more complicated. For a start, you can only pick up and carry one item at a time. Second of all, a lot of the enemies and attack you, but you can actually defeat the enemy by throwing whatever you're currently carrying at them. And thirdly, when you're not carrying anything, you can use a whip, but when you don't, you have to either jump or throw whatever you're carrying. This leads to situations where you're carrying the damsel in distress, a bat comes at you, and you feel that the best option, or at least I felt the best option, in order to deal with this bat is to throw the damsel in distress at the bat, killing the bat by having the damsel in distress fly at her. Don't worry, she was fine afterwards. You can actually get the damsels in distress killed, but usually it takes them... They can take a fair knocking. And if they, and by the way, after you've rescued her and laid them down, they'll end up walking off like lemmings. So they can easily just walk off a cliff and land onto some spikes and kill themselves by accident. But that's their fault, honestly. I mean, can they not? Well, okay, maybe it's kind of their thing. But it gets a whole little strategic. And once you get to the end of that level, you get on to the next level. You keep going down and down each level. And the object is to get to the bottom, or is it? Because there's, I've actually made it through the game from beginning to end and hit the credits. But the problem is, you discover that you discover one thing. There seems to be a lot of secrets to this game. I mean, I've uncovered some of them. There's some stuff involving possibly a city of gold and possibly a UFO, but you can still go straight through to the end of the level either way. But here's where things get a little tricky. The levels are randomly generated. Yeah, normally this is very tricky in games because sometimes it means that whether you win or lose isn't determined by yourself, but actually how the level was randomly generated. And this actually is the case. You could end up dying in a lot of crazy ways. Here, I'll tell you some of the ways that I ended up dying in this game. First up, there's an altar where you can sacrifice people. You can either knock enemies unconscious and sacrifice them and sometimes get an item, or you can sacrifice the damsel in distress and get, you know, an item and, you know, appease the gods. One time I was climbing over the altar, a bat hit me or something. I fell down, landed on the altar, knocked myself unconscious, and was immediately sacrificed. Therefore, I sacrificed myself, and that's how I ended that game. In another case, there was a shopkeeper. Now, essentially, this game has these things called, you know, these arrows, where basically if you stand in front of them, they shoot an arrow at you. They're one of the most dangerous, most lethal things in the game. And one of the things you tend to do is just take a skull or a stone and throw it in front to trigger the trap. Other times you can get an enemy to trigger that trap before and get the enemy hit with the arrow, which is one of the nice things about the game. It's very emergent. Things happen as a result. Other times, however, what can happen is you fall down, the arrow hits you, you go flying across the screen and land on a set of spikes, which is another way to kill you. Or you can do what happened another way. I was near a shop. There was one of those arrow traps right in front of the shop, so I took a stone, threw it in front of the trap, it triggered the trap, the arrow shot out, and then it hit the shopkeeper. The shopkeeper then blamed me and started attacking me with a shotgun and blasted me to heck. And that's only the start of the shopkeeper stuff, because while you technically can kill the shopkeeper and steal all his stuff, which is kind of morally grey, you'll end up having every shopkeeper in the game trying to kill you from then on, and there'll always be a shopkeeper waiting at the exit of every level with a shotgun ready to kill you. On the other hand, if you're able to outwit him, you get a free shotgun. But the amount of ways a shopkeeper can screw over you. Then, of course, there's a ghost. If you stay along in a level too long, a ghost will suddenly start attacking you. And, the tiki traps. How could I forget the tiki traps? These are these little spring-loaded spikes that shoot out of these poles. And once they hit you, while I think it is possible if you have enough hearts to actually survive a shot from these things, most of the time, no. They will shoot out, you will die, and then you'll have to start all over again, normally from the beginning. Now, in fairness to the game, it does have a system whereby you can actually, for instance, every four levels, the level theme changes, and you do have a system whereas if you continually provide well enough, you'll be able to get a shortcut to the later part of that level, and that is really good because it helps you. But at the same time, I think the true way to play this game is from the very beginning every single time, seeing how you can make it through all the randomly generated obstacles and problems and enemies, and then every so often something will be thrown up, and you'll figure, wait a sec, this is a secret. I can either pursue the secret and do better, or I can just actually do something that has less of a chance of me actually dying and try to complete the level. And that's a decision this game constantly throws you with. It makes you do decisions. Do you want to collect a lot of treasure so you can buy items, or do you want to take your chances, go on, you know, forego the risk of actually collecting extra treasures, but then run the risk that there might be a shop later on that has what you want, but you won't have enough money to pay for it, and so on and so forth. It is definitely a very brutal game, and it can be kind of soul-crushing too. You could be going, like, playing for, like, 10, 20 minutes. You could have done a very meticulous run, built up a set of great power-ups, very great items, being very careful, and then suddenly some combination of factors, and suddenly you are dead. You lost everything. And sometimes it's not even specifically your fault. I mean, most of the times you die, it is kind of your fault, which is actually a mark of a very good game, because if you die for reasons that aren't your fault, then it's frustrating. But there was like one time I spawned, and before I could even react, a guy threw a boomerang at me. Now, in fairness, I did try to shoot him rather than what I should have done, maybe, which is jumping. But at the same time, the game suddenly throws these things at you, and it's part of the reason it has these randomly generated levels kind of are its greatest strength and weakness. They're the greatest strength because you can play it multiple times and you never figure out the level layout. I mean, you figure out bits of it, but you never quite suddenly, you know, figure, oh, I just have to do A, B, and C and I'll win. There's always a little bit more of a challenge to it, and that's what makes it a lot more trickier. But of course, there's also other problems with it. For instance, it also means that, you know, there often isn't actually a clear rationale behind the level, and therefore you can completely be taken by surprise by something that really isn't your fault. I'm going to play another track from this. Like I said, most of the music, as you've heard, is pretty cool and optimistic, but sometimes it goes into a bit more of a retro flavor. Have a listen and hope you enjoy. Yeah, a lot of tracks in this game are short but sweet, but they've got a good flavour to them, and of course they tend to be played around and around on loop as you go through the level. There's actually a very big selection of music for each of the levels. In fact, of course, it's not just the levels that are randomly generated, the music that'll be playing on any given level also is, although there are a couple of locations where they've got specifically tailored music for it. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of Spelunky for you. It is, like I said, it's a pretty... I would highly recommend the game. I mean, it is tricky. I played on my PS Vita, but then also got it for Steam, and I believe it's available for a bunch of other platforms as well. It's actually pretty good on the PS Vita, because then you can just pick it up, play it, and have a go. And because it's not, I mean, it's kind of persistent. In fact, some of the stuff does get saved, but a lot of the time you're just starting out from scratch. So, you know, once you die, it's not like you've got any progress to save on. But it's... yeah, it's a fun, it's pretty engaging, it is damn well addictive, and it can also be occasionally soul-destroying, as once again, everything you built for gets collapsed in a heap, as you gradually realise that, wait, no, I've hit the bottom of the level and fall into a bottomless pit in the Ice Caves level. Damn it. Alright, I'll leave you with Lobby, and I'll leave you with there. This has been David Collins with BitNote. Thank you for listening.